For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This election has taken a worrying twist.
The campaign heats up.
Well, I think it was a coup.
Some of their stuff to just be plain weird.
She's more liberal than Bernie Sanders.
Every move, every breaking event.
I trust the sky to get it right.
This is News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning and happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:06. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Special guest in the studio, Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek. Good morning, Carl. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. Man, it's Thursday. It's Friday Eve. We're excited.
So many things going on. Let's try to rip through them.
Campbell is about to lose, right?
Your lips to God's ears. Yeah, let's hope so.
The debate is the same result. Her dropping out of the race.
Hey, you're taking over Operations Blue Run Park in Dunellen.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a great opportunity, I think, for Marion County to partner with the city of Dunellen. The city of Dunellen has been reconcentrating their efforts on some road infrastructure and some other things. We've been talking about, you know, bathrooms and these things and all the stuff that the park needs. And what they actually came to us and said, hey, listen, we don't want to manage this park anymore, you know. It's a great thing, but it's really a better asset, a better fit for Marion County. Can you please look at this, see if you could take it over, see if it'll be a better fit? And because of KP Hole and Blue Run Park is basically our out, right, where all the tubers come out of the river after their four-hour journey down the incredible Rainbow River.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, let's look at this thing. It makes a lot of sense for us. The only thing is that I talked specifically with the mayor himself, was like, hey, listen, we love this. We love this idea, but here's the deal. We still need you to be a partner. We still need you to have the buy-in because – you know, this council or the next council or whatever else, you can't come in there and then make some ordinance that says, oh, well, you're not longer able to use this way. You know how those things go, right?
Right. You need a true partner in every sense.
We need a true partner because Blue Run is literally the gateway and the exit for the Rainbow River for us, and also all of these trails that the state has done all the way across from Tampa south all the way through Dunellen and all the way actually connecting hopefully at some point all the way through the Black Bear in the Ocala National Forest. This is a huge gateway
kind of piece of
and it's an amazing opportunity for Marion County to partner with Dunellen, take some of the financial stress off of them, and make sure that we have a long-term partnership with the city. I think it's going
to
be great.
Hey, I know the Florida Gators got off to a bad start, but you want to start hunting them?
Yes.
That's kind of a little strong reaction. No, actual real alligators. Hunting season began on August 15th, ends November 1st. If you could just tell me, how does that work quickly?
Yeah, and so each person that's selected to win a gator permit is allowed to get two gators during the allotted season. You know, and some people actually think that, you know, gator season is all year long, right? And it's not. It actually has that season that you talked about. Applications for her first harvest periods, all done through FWC. So if you're a Florida resident, alligator trapping license and a permit for two gators will cost you about $275, $272, something like that. And man, I tell you what, I was up there fishing in Orange Lake not too long ago, and what a great place. Some of the alligators coming out of there have been big and record-setting, and so it's a great opportunity for those in Marion County and around the state of Florida. If you're looking for a great gator, come to Marion County and have some fun.
And it's it's actually beneficial to the alligator population. You have to control manage the population.
Right?
You got to manage them.
Absolutely, because otherwise the fish population gets out of balance. All the things get out of balance. And so hunting is a good thing, and being a good steward of what the great gifts that God has given us is literally a great thing if we do it with the right
now,
understanding.
You get the meat from it. Are you also able to use the hides? Because I asked somebody some, and there
absolutely
was something. No, okay.
I mean, you can definitely use the hides for pieces of it, and but it is a more intense process. I actually used somebody not too long ago, a couple years ago, for some deer hide down out of the Spring Hill area.
So they tan. They know the tanning process and all that.
And, yeah, you can get that all done. Maybe have that that back rib go down your alligator mm-hmm. jacket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be definitely a Bob legacy. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, we need to get Bob on a gator boat. Let's do it, right? I mean, now that would be an adventure.
Yeah, just make sure the people I'm with are good people.
Of course.
And really good. Really,
somebody gives you a shove in the water.
Mary County Rednecks, baby. It doesn't get any better than that, right?
Bye-bye, Bob. Hey, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. What is Marion County doing as part of that?
You know, one of the things that we do is just we honor the nonprofits that come through. And there are places and people that raise money every single year, like our Ocala Royal Dames. My wife is an Ocala Royal Dame. You've helped sponsor some of that stuff and talked about it.
Yep.
But just trying to get cancer research. And so the head of the oncology department for children was from University of Florida, and Shans was at our meeting yesterday. We were able to give them some awards and thank them for the incredible work. But it really is these, and he talked about it yesterday, these research funds that are outside the scope of the normal medicine. There's only been 4 FDA approved drugs in the last about decade that have actually made it through the FDA process.
Wow.
That really managed that. The incredible thing that they shared is even though some of these aggressive cancers are very difficult to take care of, you know, on the other side, 80% of the kids are actually getting cured and ringing the bell. And so we had a child there yesterday that was in his 5-year mark, ringing that bell. We had another gentleman that has been through this traumatic process of treatment. I mean, really, it's a whole family, person, tribe type of thing. And then, you know, we have, I think I've shared a little bit about this, but our assistant county engineer, Jared Pelt, his family went through that. His daughter started off, she actually started experiencing some knee pain.
Yeah, that's how a lot of these things get diagnosed.
Yeah, and from knee pain.
Something innocuous. Say, like
innocuous
that.
Is that, right? 3 years later, she passes. And you know, one of the things that he actually started was a foundation just to do something small, right? Because these kids, once they're in there, the treatments are long, they're tough on them. He's been building with his foundation a video game carts, just so that they have something to take off their mind, just so that they have a way to connect with some of their friends back home. And that's been a true blessing. And I just wanted to give him a shout out today. Thank you, Jared, for the work that you're doing. And then we're next at our next board meeting, we're having a blood drive for cancer research as well. So those are some of the things that we're doing to try to make sure that, you know, in this time we support the families that are going through it. Because even though it's a low number of families affected, man, it's still a big number of actual families going through
and
that.
And it devastates,
process.
Like you say, the whole family's absolutely impacted, no question.
Well, when they were going through treatment for Jared himself, right, he's got 3 kids at home.
Right.
Him and his wife are going back and forth.
They all feel it.
All
kids, parents,
all,
everything.
Right? I mean,
yep.
And, you know, that impact on the family and that impact even on the community, as much as you try to surround them and support them, it is an incredible drain. 3 years of treatment? Wow. I mean, so if you know somebody, guys, and going through that process, you know, do more than just pray and make some meals. Help them. Transport them. Give them the rides. I mean, they're exhausted. Help them.
Any kind of volunteer.
You know,
well, we help with that via the Ronald McDonald House,
absolutely,
which is very helpful. So.
Yeah. So there's so many organizations trying to help, but wow, what a taxing thing. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Jared and his foundation. Thank you for what you're doing.
Can't believe it.
Those kids.
9/11 is coming up. What are you doing there?
Yeah. So please come. We have a 9/11 remembrance ceremony. It's a powerful way to remember those that lost. I think everybody in our generation still remembers the moment and the time.
Absolutely.
And where you were. I was in college at the time. And I remember that classes getting canceled and the plane striking and the second one coming in. So please just remember, it's we need to understand what the war on terrorism really is and how they're trying to continue to still in ways. Listen, our border is an issue because of that kind of thing. Not only is it the dope and the fentanyl, but it is also the terror that tries to come in and infiltrate our community and our country because we have open borders. And that kind of thing has to be taken care
of. National security issue, no doubt about it. Marion County Commissioner Carl Zelick, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for making the trip through probably two or three traffic lights to come visit us.
Yeah, and when someday Gainesville's going to get the timing right.
Don't count on it.
They know we're coming. Oh, that's yeah, why they slowed they down, know. Right?
All right, good morning, folks. It is 8:16. We've got a lot more to talk about. Unfortunately, some of it will involve that recent high school shooting in Georgia. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good morning and welcome. It's 8:21. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got a lot to talk about. You've got the shooting, the high school shooting that took place in Georgia yesterday. 4 dead, 2 teachers, 2 students. It's alleged that a 14-year-old named Colt Gray was a shooter. Troubling. Beyond what's always going to be troubling about these kinds of things is that the FBI was actually alerted about him a year ago. The tips led back then, a year ago, to then 13-year-old Colt Gray, who was interviewed by law enforcement and denied making the threats. Mm. Yeah, because what happened was people had said there's online threats. They right. investigated. They even talked directly to him and his father. When his father was interviewed, the father stated that he had hunting guns in the house, but the subject did not have unsupervised access to them. Gray was monitored after being interviewed, but there was no probable cause for arrest or to take any additional law enforcement action on the local, state, or federal levels, according to the FBI. On September 4th, 2024, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation confirmed 14-year-old Colt Gray was under arrest, charged in the murder of 2 students and 2 teachers at Appalachie High School in Georgia. So what can we glean from that? What can we learn from that? I mean, the FBI investigated. I mean, you'd think... Normally, that would put the fear of God in a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And then also,
yeah,
the father. I mean, once you talk to them, tell me if I'm wrong on this, Greg, but I'd either, you know, store my gun somewhere else that he doesn't have access to, or I would have a safe and make sure that he does not have access to the safe.
Well, you wonder what the inaccessibility was a year ago.
Yes, exactly.
What did that really mean? Does that mean they're, are they locked in a closet? Are they in a safe? Does the 13-year-old, is he sharp enough to figure out what your you know your code is to get in the thing? I don't know.
But for them to actually sit down and actually talk to this same kid, and here we are a year later, it almost makes you throw up your hands and say, what can you do? I mean, I guess for whatever reason, they couldn't connect him with the threats, which I would think that they would have the ability to do that. But maybe it is more difficult than I think it is, but I don't know. I mean, he's had online threats. They couldn't track it down to him specifically. If they tracked it down to a computer,
you can narrow that down pretty
I guess
good.
It must have been, maybe it was a computer where a lot of people had access to it, perhaps.
I don't know, because you would think, okay, if he is making threats, what are you doing to help the kid so that whether he did it or not, if you really think that he did, what are you doing to help him with whatever issue he has
right.
that he would post about a school shooting? Because every 13, 14-year-old kid, they know it's a big deal. They've been raised in this world of seeing school shootings their whole life. So
that's part of the problem. That's that they recognize that it is a big deal. And if you need some sort of attention and you feel you haven't been, you know, treated properly by students or staff or whatever,
right.
this in a sick, demented mind twists into, well, I'm going to take my revenge or I'm going to leave my mark and these other things.
That is messed up.
It would be interesting to know what kind of help, if any, did he get? Was he on any kind of medications? Was he supposed to be on medications, but he wasn't? Those are some pretty basic questions I'd like to know, along with what did the father consider, you know, the guns being beyond his
right.
access. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We're switching gears. Liz Cheney. This is not a shocker.
Oh, my goodness.
Reveals she will be voting for Kamala Harris.
Wow. I won't even fake being surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Former representative. I mean, she was a congresswoman, Liz Cheney. And this is no surprise at all. And she hates any and all things Trump. She was one of the few Republicans. It was just her and Kenzinger that sat on the January 6th commission, which was a total, you know, witch hunt, kangaroo court, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
A bad joke. I mean, it was one of our first obvious instances of, you know, the power and weight of the federal government being used to take out, you know, a political enemy.
And we really started seeing Trump derangement syndrome at the highest levels of government. It wasn't just the screaming college kid in the street anymore because he won. Literally, we're seeing this at that level with these people.
While speaking at an event at Duke University's Sanford School of Public Policy, Cheney explained that she could not vote for former President Donald Trump because of the danger that he possesses. She also warned about not having the luxury of writing in other candidates' names. What exactly is the danger? Did she get down to what the danger is? He's going to destroy democracy. He's going to become a dictator,
et
cetera, et cetera. But nobody says, really? What's that? What exactly is that based on?
Yeah.
Nothing. Just something that they made up.
Their bullet points.
Or is it something that they have planned and they're calling you what they are? As they have a track record of doing.
We've seen that.
Yes, we have. Yeah. Hopefully that'll be the last time we hear about Liz Cheney for a while.
I hope so.
All right. Coming up, a local guy has definitely made a name for himself, Mark Herm, again, giving back to the community and a very important event that we're going to highlight. That's coming up next, right here on 97.3 The Sky.
Talk.
These days, my biggest concern is inflation.
About what matters the most.
I worry about unemployment.
Hear about it first.
A brand new Trump economic boom.
An opportunity economy.
Talk about it now.
The Sky gets it right.
Now. Right.
News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is 8:34. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Special guest in the studio, Mark Herb, is with us. Former Gator great, air conditioning expert, the whole nine yards, and gives back to the community. Mark, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. I sure appreciate you having me here.
Hey, I'm so happy that you came in once again to talk about Coastal Conservation Association of Florida. So many people in Florida, we love fishing. We enjoy fishing, sport, tournaments, just fun with the kids, family. And this is a tradition that we continue and want to continue as Floridians. Tell folks what the basic mission is of Coastal Conservation Association, or CCA.
Bob, to put it in a nutshell, the CCA, Coastal Conservation Association, is a 501c3 organization that prides itself on being one of the largest groups in restoration and preservation of our natural resources in the waterfront. We do fish restorations, reef restorations, we restore clams, we go back and replant the mangrove islands. It's nonstop. And the nicest thing about it is we have tens of thousands of anglers that are actually our current member staff that participate in all of this activity.
And this would be volunteer. You have a lot of volunteer folks. And this particular event that we're going to talk about raises money so that you can do things like sink a giant ship, January, 239-foot vessel off the shore of Destin. I guess people understand the concept of a reef, right?
They do. They definitely understand artificial reefs. What they don't understand is the immense expense that goes into making the sinking of the ship happen.
Because, without it being hazardous, right, materials, et cetera.
Exactly. The preparation of the ship, decontamination from the whole thing. You can imagine if it's being sunken, it's because it's got some age to it. So it's very old. So all the contaminants are removed. It's prepped properly. Just getting it out there, the number of vessels required to move the thing out to where it's going to be deployed. It's an immense task.
Trout restocked 50,000, snook 5,100, oyster reefs restored 32. That's just just the tip of the iceberg of all the work that is done. And currently you have a $1 million habitat pledge. How's that work?
Well, basically any of the chapters throughout the state can put together a proposition for a task that they want to do. And there's money set aside to fund those chapters for the task. Every task is reviewed by the board of CCA and determined if it's viable or not. And if it's viable, then it happens. I'll give you an example. Our trash cleanups, they call them the trash tours. We have removed 80 tons of debris.
80 tons.
80 tons. People go out on canoes, john boats, power boats, pontoons, doesn't matter. And they would go around the shorelines and pick up debris and bring it back and put it into a dumpster, and it's weighed. So these are legitimate numbers.
Wow, it's sad in a way that you could collect 80 tons of trash, that people are not really respectful of this great natural resource that we have.
I completely agree, Bob. It is a shame that much debris is found in our waterways. But at the same time, we're very grateful for the people that are actually willing to invest their time and energy and their resources to do a cleanup effort like this, because it is huge.
Now, here's the easy part. If you want to do your part, all you have to do is show up at a party, at a banquet.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And all the money that's raised goes to CCA, and that is coming up Thursday, September 12th at Legacy Park, the multipurpose center that is in the city of Alachua. What a great place to have it. And I can't believe this is your 33rd annual banquet and auction.
That's correct, Bob. We've recently continued to grow, and a few years ago moved over to Legacy Park because it's just a fantastic facility. This is a fundraising event. Our ticket sales are available online at ccaflorida.org. Just click on events and go to our Gainesville chapter, and it'll take you right there. And you can scroll up and down depending on if you want to buy an entire table for 10 or buy a singles ticket or a couples ticket. But those tickets are available, and it's been a great event for many, many years.
Oh, yeah. You always have excellent auction items for the folks. There's a feast for the eyes, and especially for those who love to fish and stuff. You guys always cover the bases.
The feast part
on
is
that.
Good, too.
Yeah, the feast part is very good.
Well, yes, always. So for people who wonder, like FWC, we pay money for fishing licenses and stuff like that. So how does CCA work sort of in tandem or in addition to what they do?
Well, we're a complementary effort to FWC because we work with them on the establishment of criteria to determine what some of the new fishing regulations should be. We will actually battle, if you will, for the right to not have a shutdown in some cases where they have a certain species of fish that looks like it's becoming lesser and lesser available. They've tried to establish the dates for the seasons of the fish. Our goal is typically to open them up, not shut them down, but to open them up so that they're manageable.
And if you open them up, you're backing that up by doing this huge restocking effort. So say for like redfish, you between the coast here, what do you got? You got over 200,000 redfish.
That's correct. We actually had 140,000 on the west coast and 86,000 on the east coast for restock. And that's just a huge, if you've ever seen the process, I mean, just imagine all the tanks that are put to use and the expense thereof, the people taking care of them, the food to raise these fish to a young adulthood status and then turn them loose back out where we do, all up and down the coast.
I mean, you know, fisheries have been around a long time, but it's a lot different freshwater versus saltwater. I mean, you really have to pay attention to, I guess, the pH of the water and all those other factors, right?
It's a lot of work. There's a lot of scientists involved. And not only that, too, but when you're working with salt water, we've got a group of people that's dedicated for each different coast, which is why you see different numbers, different coasts. And so there's different types of habitats. And Indian River Lagoon is one that's been very heavily depleted from redfish, clams. Captain Blair Wiggins is working with the clam restoration there. It's been a great opportunity to participate in all the restorations throughout the state.
Are some of these species impacted by things other than fishing? In other words, you hear about the red tide is one, but also I think, I don't know if it's the Indian River, I think it is specifically one of the areas where they get all this growth and oxygen depletion.
It is, with the algae blooms, we've had a huge factor with it. Yeah, they're trying to get in there and get things cleaned up, and we've put an immense effort into the restoration and the water clarification projects. We've got, I don't even know how many teams that work together in different aspects of it. And of course, different areas of the state have different problems with the water quality, if you will, depending on where it's being dumped out. But we have had red tide issues. That's also a reason the West Coast got some more redfish, is because of the fact that we had a heavier hit on the West Coast with the red tide. But yeah, every area of the state has its own challenges, and we certainly try to respond to that as an organization the best we can with the resources we can. And that's why it's so important to have people participate on our banquets, because those banquet funds that we receive from there, you know, we have an expense in the banquet too. We don't get to keep everything that's brought in, obviously.
Yeah.
But we have to have something to work with to continue to pay for these events that take place and for the challenges of cleanups and things like that. The good part about it is that we do have some matching funds that will come from federal grants and state grants and things. So the more we earn, sometimes it can double or triple its own value.
Well, it actually lowers the cost of what would normally be like a government entity.
Right.
FWC and other, they don't have the manpower to cover the bases the way you do, and you can do it at a much lower expense. It's mostly volunteer.
Exactly.
So this is great. So everybody is invited out to the Gainesville Chapter of Coastal Conservation Association 33rd Annual Banquet and Auction. It is Thursday, September 12th at Legacy Park Multipurpose Center. This is in the city of Alachua.
Right.
And to get tickets, what's the best way again?
The best way to do it this year, and we're getting close to the limit right now, so we want to go to ccaflorida.org and go to events, and then you'll go to the Gainesville chapter, and actually I think it's arranged by months now, so you'll select the month, which would be September, and it'll pull up Gainesville chapter, and you'll click on whichever type of ticket you want to buy, whether it's single, couple, table, however you want to do that.
What a great way to maybe reward some of your workers if you have like a small business, you know, to take them out to something like that. You're doing something great for the community. It's tied into fishing, natural resources, and it's also a 501c3, so you have the tax advantage there too.
Exactly. We've got a great group of people, Bob, locally that participate, and they secure tables to bring exactly that, bring their staff, bring friends, guests to come on, and we typically try to do something different every year. Well, this year we've got two special events taking place. Captain Mike Anderson is going to come speak at the organization as well. And this year, we happen to have a member who is a professional breeder for Labrador AKC pups, and we are actually going to have a 10-week-old black lab up for in the live auction.
10-week-old puppy?
Yes, sir. This is the first time we've ever done this.
You got Bob's attention now.
Is that dog guaranteed to catch fish? That's what I want to know.
I'm pretty sure it can retrieve them.
Probably
can. With the right attention. So, but this is going to be huge because, you know, everybody that participates in the FWC, for the most part, is an outdoors person.
Sure.
You know, and so they're outdoors people. You know, obviously that type of dog loves being in the water and splashing around and stuff. So it's a great, you know, mending of the animal and the people and what they do. I grew up with labs and had labs for a long, long time, so they're just amazing
dogs. Good luck trying
dogs.
To keep them on the boat.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they want to be in the water.
That's very true.
We've experienced that, too.
Yeah, I've had a little lashing before. Keep them tied to the boat.
Mark Herm, giving back to the community. Appreciate everything that this is about. Just giving back to Florida, the community. If you fish and you love being on your boat and you love what we have here, you need to look at this event. And like you say, go to ccaflorida.org.
And all of my communication or contact information is on site too, Bob, so on the website. So if they have any questions for me, they're welcome to pull me up and send me an email or give me a call directly. Either way is fine.
Great stuff. All right. Excellent. It is 8:45. We've got a lot more to talk about. All your headlines. It's coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. This day is just absolutely flying by. Before you know it, it's going to be Friday.
Ooh, yeah.
But it's still officially Thursday. It's 8:49. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And what a great conversation with Mark Herm we had about the CCA, what they do, coastal conservation. And if you missed that, or any of the great interviews, or in fact, any portions of the show, it is all on demand 24/7. Subscribe to the Bob Rose Show podcast. No charge, no cost. You can go through the Odyssey app or wherever you normally get your podcast. You know, but hit that subscribe and we will be good to go. That's always a great event for a great cause. So I know it's going to be successful. So grab your tickets before they completely sell it out. Troubling story, obviously. It always is. Shooting, high school, Georgia, 4 dead, 2 adults, 2 14-year-olds. Suspect is a 14-year-old. The FBI had been alerted and actually interviewed the same kid last year. Back then, he was 13 years old. He was interviewed by law enforcement. He denied making the threats, which I would imagine if you made threats about shooting up a school, you might not come forward with that information, and it goes along with the cowardly aspect of this whole thing. So you can't trust that the person is telling you the truth, and apparently there was follow-up, okay? I mean, the FBI said that, you know, that they said, look, you can't arrest somebody of a probable cause just for a threat that apparently they couldn't define as coming absolutely from him. I don't know.
But that's the frustrating part, Bob. It's like, oh, well, he denied it. Okay, what does every criminal do pretty much 99.9% of the time when you say, you did this? Not me, I didn't do it.
I mean, isn't this almost akin to like being on a terrorist watch list? You haven't necessarily committed a terrorist act.
Right.
But you fit a profile.
Yes.
Well, does this kid fit a profile? Well, clearly, I mean, he does now, but why? It would just seem like he would be watched very carefully.
Yeah.
And his father, who said he had guns, the father had guns, but that the kid did not have unsupervised access to them.
Well, apparently he did.
Well, which leads to the question, well, then, how did he gain access? What happened there? And local authorities, people in the school, I mean, you can't, at this point, you can't assign blame, but you do have to wonder. I mean, this is how the Stoneman Douglas thing, that kid had problems.
Yep.
But you can't just arrest somebody because they fit a profile. You can't, you know, force them necessarily into a, you know, like in Florida, it would be a Baker Act, and it's called other things, but to, you know, he's going to be harmed to himself or to those around him. And there's a time period for that, even if you try to implement it. And as a juvenile, good luck. That's difficult. So, I don't know, that doesn't leave us with a lot, does it? Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. John, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. If the FBI actually went to him, interviewed him, and didn't do anything, it's just another case of the government failing us, as it was with a whistleblower who blew the lid off putting pickleball courts and golf courses in our parks. He needs to be reinstated and compensated for being fired. And those who fired him need to be fired, and you should have him on the show. He is a hero, and that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what the whole story was there, how information came out, but it was way before any sort of real kind of a planning stage would have been done, and it came out of the DEP, which doesn't jive with what they normally are all about. But rest assured that this is not going to occur with Florida parks. I mean, the blowback was huge. But part of the problem is that going to be the blowback no matter what any plan is to do anything to augment the way the Florida state system is now for parks? Are you just never do anything? That might not be the best answer either. All right, but let's stay on track here. And Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, you know, one thing that is apparent that most of these school shooters have been in contact with law enforcement before, but where a problem with this particular issue or this incident is FBI knew that kid. Somebody had made threats. It's documented in the reports that I've seen so far. Somebody had made threats to the schools. Why wasn't somebody knocking on that kid's door first? Because he should have been right in the middle of the radar screen.
Well, he was. He was interviewed by law enforcement. Now, at what level? Was it the actual FBI, or was it the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, or was it the local cops? I haven't found all of that yet, but we know that he was interviewed by law enforcement a year previous to this event. The kid denied making any threats. The father stated that he indeed had hunting guns in the house, but that the kid did not have unsupervised access to them. He was allegedly monitored after being interviewed, but there was no probable cause for arrest or to take any additional law enforcement action, according to the FBI. They said on the local, state, or federal levels. That was the FBI statement. And Shep, you're on the air.
You know, I've been monitoring the other news outlets, the leftist news outlets. And whenever this happens, and I don't want to minimize this tragedy at all. I really don't. But whenever this happens, they always call for the banning of the so-called assault weapon, the AR-15. And whenever I get into an argument with an anti-Second Amendment person, I say, let me ask you something, not to minimize this, but would you feel better if the shooter had used a common hunting rifle, like a 30 caliber, 30-06 or a 308? And then they get angry.
You nailed
great
it.
Great point.
Exactly. Yeah. It is 8:56. The 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. And you are listening to 97.3 The Sky. We've got a special guest coming up as well, State Senator Blaze Ingolia. So stick around for that. 97.3 The Sky.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.